the baptism all the way to and pass through the resurrection, and we're going to be journeying all the way through Easter with this series. So I'm encouraging you to join in with me as we take this journey with Christ to the cross and eventually as he rose from the dead. I wanted to encourage you and strengthen you that the life of Christ is more than just a story on pages. It is real. It is life for you. And it can grow you, because anytime you get around Christ, change happens. Amen? Man, I need a big amen right there. Anytime you get around Christ, change happens. So all we need to do is get around him. All you need to do is get close to him this morning. In fact, I want to turn your thoughts to this teaching that Christ gives us here in Matthew 21 before we get into the story this morning. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone whom it falls will be crushed." We're going to struggle with a truth this morning that I want you guys to have tension in your heart with me as we grow in Christ, that what actually keeps me from Christ's help is not Christ's heart. In fact, I want you to say that with me. What keeps me from Christ's help is not Christ's heart. You see, God intends good for you this morning. He intends to bless you and strengthen you and to move you into your destiny, into your hope, into your healing. So what is keeping us from receiving that has nothing to do with Christ's heart being evil towards me. It has everything to do with my issues, my pride, my unwillingness to accept, my brokenness. And in that struggle, we miss an opportunity. Many times, I'm afraid in my life, as I look back, as I'm getting older now, I look back, and there's, if anything I regret, I regret the opportunities that I have missed to grow in Christ. Have you ever missed an opportunity? We got enough testimonies here this morning. Because when we struggle with this issue, we finally realize that it's my pride and it's my fear. My pride and my fear can be broken, or my opportunity can be crushed. My pride and my fear can be broken upon the truth of Jesus Christ, or my opportunity this morning will be crushed. And I don't want you to miss any more opportunities. I feel like we're living in a day and age right now, and I don't have time to go into it, but we really are in the last days. Things are falling into place here, and that we don't need to miss any opportunities that Christ gives us to live this life for him and to advance his kingdom and his cause. And if there's anything I can do for you this morning on this rainy, soggy day, is to strengthen you and shake you in a sense and tell you to wake up. Don't miss the opportunity, because the days are evil. Make use of the things that God has given us to receive the growth that he's caused us to grow in. But I've missed opportunities. I know that feeling. Do you know that feeling of just, oh, I missed an opportunity? I remember one time. It was, in fact, it was right when me and Jennifer first got married, and someone was willing to pay for us a trip to go somewhere. And I just, out of pride, just not willing to accept help, I kept telling this person, no. I was being nice, hoping that they would be persistent in telling me, why don't you take this trip, right? But I was trying to be nice and just say, oh, no, thank you. I don't want you to have to do that. You know what they said? Okay. And they walked off. And there goes my paid weekend at the beach. And I said, oh, wait a minute. What have I done, right? I missed an opportunity. I missed an opportunity. They never came back and offered that again. But you know what it did do? It taught me a lesson. And I started thinking about how my pride keeps me from God's grace and his blessings in my own life. Think about that for a second. How many opportunities do you miss that God is trying to do something in your life with? Think about it. Think about how many times he wants to touch you, bless you, encourage you, strengthen you, grow you. But just because of our pride, just because of our fear maybe of what that might really be, maybe it's not pride, maybe it's more fear. What's around the corner? What if I take that step? Do we just flat out just miss the opportunities? Think about all throughout Scripture, what would happen if the people, if the men and women of God didn't step out and take advantage of the opportunities? We wouldn't have the story of David and Goliath, would we? David would have stayed in the tent with the others, wouldn't he? We wouldn't have the story of Peter walking on the water. He would have stayed in the boat with everybody else. So what about you? Where do you find yourself at? What opportunities lay in front of you? Because we could use excuses. Well, it's really out of my control, preacher. I don't really have much to say about things, but do we? And then you're saying, but could I have really done something different? Maybe you could. Or maybe you're blaming others in your life because you've missed opportunities. Maybe you're thinking that you've missed your opportunities because somebody else has just received blessings and where's mine at? But really, does blaming others really help you? Maybe it really is my own pride and fear. Maybe it really is my pride and fear that's really keeping me from receiving the opportunities God has given me. And the truth is, guys, listen to me. I'm going to say it again. My pride and my fear can be broken or my opportunity will be crushed. My pride and my fear can be broken or my opportunity will be crushed. And we've been studying the life of Christ and seeing how wonderfully he starts unfolding these truths to us. And we started the first week with John the Baptist and how Jesus was baptized. And the message of John the Baptist was repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And we understood that we need to repent to respond to his rescue call. And then we looked last week at the story of Peter being called and how Peter could have just missed that opportunity if he would have said, no, I'm not going to try to go back out fishing again. But he was willing to let Christ start redeeming him. Because God doesn't just want you to leave you in Egypt. He wants to move you into the promised land. Amen. He doesn't want you to leave you in the boat of life, struggling through life. He wants to call you into something bigger. And some of you guys, we struggle with the truth that Peter had to leave to catch a fish. You guys remember that? And this might be a moment right now that your opportunity just is kind of hard to see because you've got all around you, it's like, look, I'm just blessed. Everything's going right at work. But what if God is calling you to something more? What if God is calling you to something different? What if God is calling you out of the boat and you've just had a big catch of fish? Those are the hardest times. It's easy to follow Christ when the net is empty. It's hard to follow Christ when the net is full. You following me? So what does the opportunity look like for you? We're going to look this morning at one of the first miracles that Christ had ever done and the lesson that he teaches us about opportunities. And we'll find the truth that the Son of Man has come and his heart is to work a wonderful opportunity for you. Why don't you watch this with me?
Statutes which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and what is good in sight of the Lord. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes.
It's Jesus!
Whoa, 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 whoa.
John, keep everyone moving.
How shall we picture the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. The smallest seed in the world. Yet, when planted, it grows up.
Rabbi,
Your sins are forgiven, my son.
Did you hear that? He has forgiven his sins. I thought only God could do that.
Isn't that blasphemy?
He knows. It is blasphemy. Is that your wish, my friend? Well, answer me.
Tell me which is easier. To say his sins are forgiven, or say he... get up and walk.
Wait. The Son of Man has authority to forgive sins.
Friends!
What is this about? Not even Moses himself would have thought he could forgive sin.
You heard what our teacher said.
On what authority does he think he can do this?
On his authority.
That is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin. And your friend could be stoned for a false claim like this.
This is just the beginning.
Let's go!
Luke chapter 5, we're just a few verses down from where we were last week. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, and they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. I want to read that last sentence again. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. It's amazing, amazing truth that Christ's heart is willing to touch and move. Even in the face of those who would ridicule him, the Spirit of God was there willing to heal those who would criticize. Isn't that amazing? Christ's heart is willing. Christ's heart is willing. And maybe you're at the place this morning where you're wondering, is Christ's heart really willing? Maybe you can honestly say, you know what? I've missed opportunities in the past. I don't deserve another opportunity. Maybe I've even cursed God when things have not gone the way that I wanted them to do. Maybe I've given up on God's plans in my life in the past. But I want to tell you here this morning, Christ has showed back up again, and he is willing to do something inside of your life. Christ is willing. And say, well, I don't know. I don't know if Christ understands. Listen, when you get an overdraft notice, when you get a shutoff notice, when things go awry, when you wonder if there's anyone who really knows how bad things feel, Christ understands. Christ is there. When someone treats you like dirt, when we sense there's no one else who can truly understand what you're going through, when you feel like you've been stabbed in the back, Christ is there and he's willing. He understands. When you doubt yourself, when you disappoint yourself, and you think that no one can possibly identify with you, when you feel like Judas himself, Christ is there and he is willing. If any of that feels like you today, I want to tell you, you're in a good place. You're at the right place. In fact, you couldn't be less at the right place this morning, because Christ is here and his heart is willing. Because of what God has to say through his word for you today, I want you to receive that this is for you. Don't harden your hearts when you hear this truth. Receive it, because what Christ wants to do is not dependent upon his heart. His heart is willing. His heart wants to touch your life today. What keeps us from Christ's help is not Christ's heart. We see in this great truth that what keeps us from Christ's help is not Christ's heart, because, listen to me, because Christ's heart is infinitely approachable. You can come to Christ. Me, Yes, you can come to Christ, but you don't know what I've done in the past, preacher. Yes, you can come to Christ. You can come to Christ with your all put together religion also. The worst of sinners and the best of Pharisees can come to Christ. The offer is open. The offer was open for these here today. Those, not just the sinners and tax collectors, were there to receive in Christ's help. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and the scripture tells us without any scant eye towards anybody, he said, the Spirit of God says he was there to heal the sick. He was there to touch somebody's life. He's infinitely approachable. You see, this is the first time that Jesus is identified as the Son of Man. Luke chapter 5, verse 24, he says, the Son of Man, Jesus said, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. What is this about? Well, it's a prophecy that Daniel spoke of in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. He says, I looked, and there before me was like one like a Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, and he was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Christ was identifying that he has come to fulfill this prophecy, but listen to me, this is more than just Jesus on the clouds coming one day. This is Jesus in a manger born. This was the Son of Man, not just the Son of God. He was identifying himself as someone that is infinitely approachable. You can't approach glory, but you can approach a man. And some of you are saying, well, I can't even go to church. I can't even get close to Christ because this is wrong in my life. I got to get A, B, and C in order. But Jesus has taken the extra step for you today, and he's made himself a Son of Man that can relate to you and that you can approach and that you can touch and that you can listen to and you can receive from. See, God had to do that because none of us could approach God. Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart. But listen, let me tell you honestly from a preacher, none of us qualify for that. So the Son of Man came. We couldn't approach him, so he came to us. The Son of Man came to us, and he made himself available. He didn't hide out in the temples. He came to the courts. He came to the homes. He came to the streets. He came to the slums. And he's come for your heart this morning. He's come for you. He's come to touch you. He's come to heal you. We find in this story in Luke chapter 5, verse 18, that some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on a roof and lowered him in on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. What an incredible account. So full because of Christ and who he was and teaching and his love towards other people, filling the place full. They couldn't get in with their friend. They knew he needed help. They knew he needed healing. So what did they do? They climbed a roof. I couldn't imagine having to go through this. Climbed a roof and then began to tear out, open the tiles, and let him back through. Many of us have a hard time giving 5 minutes, and these men were willing to give 5 hours if they had to, right? To help somebody else. To get him before Christ. To get him before the one who could help him. Because listen to me, what keeps us from Christ's help is not Christ's heart, because Christ's heart is infinitely gracious. Infinitely gracious. See, in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. He's infinitely gracious to you. What right does this man have? He couldn't even get himself into the room. He had to have his friends help him get into the room. But immediately when he was lowered before Jesus, the first thing that Jesus does is look to him and say, friend. He didn't know this guy from anybody else on the street, but yet he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. What a gracious Savior we have, amen? What a gracious Savior. And some of you may be thinking, man, I just drugged myself here this morning. Good, you got here. I don't even know if I came with the right heart, but you're here. And some of you here this morning say, I wouldn't even be here if so-and-so didn't invite me. Good, you had a friend that was willing to get you here. You have somebody that could believe enough that God wants to touch your life, that they were willing to pray for you and invite you and then invite you and invite you until you got sick of hearing it and said, go, fine, I'll go check out what this is all about. And you came and you didn't realize. You didn't realize that God has set you up because he's infinitely gracious. And if it was up to you, you would have never stepped foot back into church ever again in your life. But yet you find yourself here laying before Jesus. And Jesus is saying, friend, friend, I want to forgive you of your sins. What an infinitely gracious God we have. Now let me talk to the church for a second. You know what this tells me? Let's keep bringing the broken before Jesus. Amen. Let's keep praying. Let's keep inviting. Let's keep pestering if we have to, just to get them before Jesus. I mean, even if you say, hey, I'll buy you lunch afterwards, and all they're coming for is a lunch, then fine. Well, what if their hearts aren't right? It didn't seem to matter to this guy. Just get them before Jesus. Amen. Just get them before Jesus and let Christ change hearts. Let Christ change hearts. Can I tell you, I remember the time that I got saved. It was at a youth camp, and can I tell you something? I wasn't there for Jesus. I was there for Jill. I was there for Jill. Because Jill was a lot prettier than Jesus. And say, well, that's a wrong heart to go to youth camp. I was just there. And because I was there, Jesus got a hold of me. Amen? And he changed my heart. He forgave my sins. Let's get out of this. Well, we don't know if they're doing in the right heart business. Let's just get to Jesus. Amen. Let's just get to Jesus. Because why? Because does it have anything to depend on us anyway? No, it's grace. It's by grace you've been saved. Amen. It's by grace you've been saved so that no one can boast. No one can boast. And his heart is infinitely gracious. Notice here. Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. You know, that don't make sense. That don't work real well with my theology because I thought he was supposed to have his faith. But something happened here when the men started carrying their friend up the hill, up the house, and back down through the roof. Something happened. I don't even know if the guy even wanted to be there. We're not told if he had been wanting to be healed. We just know that some of his friends picked him up and said, I'm tired of seeing you this way. I'm tired of seeing you down. I'm tired of seeing you out. We got to get you to Jesus. Amen. Anybody have some friends like that? I remember a time in my life where I was so depressed, I didn't want anybody around me, and people kept, and these friends kept knocking on my door, kept trying to call me, and I kept telling them, no, I'm fine. But finally, they persisted, and they were wanting to bring me to Christ. Amen? Because I needed to be there. Something, I believe, happened in this man's heart because of his friends. We don't even know how much faith the man had. We don't know if the man said anything to Jesus. We simply know that all three gospel writers tell us that when Jesus saw the faith of the paralyzed man's friends, he extended forgiveness to the paralyzed man. And can I tell you something? Listen to me, church. Listen to me. There is something incredible that happens when we as a church come together by faith. Can I tell you something? There may be people who walk in this doors that never would believe that God could heal them. But can I tell you something? If we have the faith in this room, come on, somebody. We keep waiting for the world to change. Listen to me, church. Let's change. We keep waiting for the Lord to just work in their hearts to bring them to a sense of just brokenness and repentance. Listen to me. If we get God in this place when they walk in the doors and they see our faith, when they see our faith, are you hearing me? It's time for us to rise up and stop blaming the world because God isn't moving. I'm tired of blaming this community and the religions and the things in this community for a reason that revival isn't hit. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking ownership right now and telling you, as for me and my house and this place, we're going to believe that God's going to do something and we're going to see revival hit this place. Amen? 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 Verse 21, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They weren't amazed at the healing. They wanted to point out what wasn't theologically right. That's a whole nother sermon right there, but let me move on. Verse 22, when Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? They didn't even have to say it. Jesus knows what's going on in the hearts. He said in verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Verse 25, immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. You see, what keeps us from Christ's help is not Christ's heart, because Christ's heart is infinitely powerful. It's infinitely powerful. He is able and able to accomplish anything that he wants to do in your life this morning. There is nothing, nothing that God cannot do for you and in you this morning. Nothing. I want to take the walls off of your faith, and I want you to start believing in a big way that he's infinitely powerful. When Christ was challenged, you can't say that this man is forgiven. That's blasphemy. Jesus said, which is easier, to say that this man's sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? That's not a trick question. It's a lot easier to say that this man's sins are forgiven, because you're not having to see something happen. That's supposed to happen in the heart. But it's a lot harder to say, you're healed, now get up and move. Isn't it? So Jesus said, to show you that I've got all power in my name, not only are your sins forgiven, which nobody can see, but your legs are healed, which everybody can see. So get up and walk. And scripture tells us he got up, picked up his bed, and went home praising God. That's why I want you to leave this morning, by the way. I want you to get up and go home praising God. That his heart is willing and his heart is powerful. It's infinitely powerful. But listen to me, there was two groups of people here in this room, and I'm having to move on for time's sake this morning. But there's two groups of people here. I want you to see that there's the Pharisees and the lame man. The Pharisees had a self-sufficient fear of man. They always constantly had to be making sure that they said the right things, looked the right way. They can't offend anybody. They have to fall into the religious systems. And they had a self-sufficient, we're going to do it our way. I'm going to memorize the right thing. I'm going to quote the right thing. It all depends on me. The Pharisee was all depending on me, all depending on my ability to keep the law, all depending on my ability to walk the right way. And listen to me, the Pharisee didn't receive a thing that day, even though the Spirit of God was there in that house to heal all. He didn't receive a thing. Why? Because his pride or his fear of someone shaking up his religious system got in the way. And guess what? He missed an opportunity. Well, who got the opportunity? The lame man. He was broken in sufficiency. He couldn't even get himself in the room. He couldn't even do anything for himself. We don't even know if he even wanted to be there. He apparently didn't say the right thing, because we're not even told he said anything. And all he had was the faith of his friends. We don't even know if he had the right faith. Because Jesus, when looking at them and saw in their friends' faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. But can I tell you something? The lame man was the one that got up and walked home praising God. Hear me. Which one are you? Which one am I? As I've been evaluating my own heart this week, I've come to the realization that it's my pride and my fear. Either that can be broken, or my opportunities will be crushed. Either I will let my pride and my fear be broken onto the image and the truth of Christ, and the reality of his all-powerfulness, his graciousness, his sovereignty, or I will miss yet another opportunity. Every Sunday is an opportunity for us. Every day is an opportunity for us. Listen to me. It's not Christ's heart. It's not Christ's heart. He wants to work in your life. So don't miss the opportunity. Three things and I'm closing. Don't miss the opportunity. Number one, approach Christ today. Approach Christ. Well, even if you have to ask your friends to pray with you. Amen? That's a good thing, by the way. Hey, will you pray with me about this? Help me. Help me get to Christ. I don't even know if I got the right strength yet. That's okay. Pray with others. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Listen to me. It's open and available to you. Christ has made the way before the throne room of God open to you. He ripped the veil top to bottom and split it in two, and he's opened up the door wide to you. The opportunity is there. The opportunity is there. Can we say that one more time? The opportunity for you to receive help and healing in your life is there. Why? Because Christ has made a way. So let's approach the throne of grace with confidence. Amen? With confidence. Approach with confidence. Approach with confidence this morning. Don't back up. Don't hold back. Let me tell you something else. If I could find that man again that offered me that trip today, you better believe I'd go approach him and say, hey, can I take you up on that offer you gave me almost 15 years ago? You may not know a thing I'm talking about. But you know what? I've done swallowed my pride enough to realize I need to be confident about asking for help. Approach Christ. Approach Christ with confidence in your life. And don't miss the opportunity. Number two, don't miss the opportunity to live in grace. What happened to this man? He got up and he walked. He took up his bed and he walked. Went home praising God. He lived in the healing that God had given him. He lived it out. He walked it out. I imagine every morning he got up and put his feet down on the ground and started to stand up. He was reminded again, I've got grace today. I've got grace to walk again today. I've got grace to live today. Live in it. Don't miss the opportunity, the grace that God has given you for today. Think about what he's done in your past. Don't forget about it. Build off of it. Amen? Think about what God has done. You say, well, I don't know if he's done much. You're still breathing. There's still hope for you. Amen? Live in the grace that God has given you. Well, I just need A, B, and C to work first before I... No, you start right now what God has given you. And live in what Christ has done for you. We don't know if this man did anything else in his life. I believe he probably turned out to be a great success in his life. Working and praising God and advancing the kingdom of God. But he had to start with what he was given. He was given the ability to walk. And Christ has given you something to start with right now, hasn't he? Hasn't he done something in your life that you can live from, you can build off of? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For we know that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What is he saying there? Christ has given you the cross to open up the riches of heaven. But notice this. So that you might become rich. Yes, your opportunity to live in the full grace of Jesus Christ. And don't blame others that you're not living in as much grace as them. You have the same opportunity to live in grace, don't you? And say, well, that's just for those super spiritual people. They just pray and they fast, or they just really encounter God. No, it's open to everybody. I'm tired of that excuse, by the way. Tired of that excuse. If you want God, go after him. All those who are hungry, all those who are thirsty, let them come. Let them drink. It's open for everybody. Live in the grace that God has given you. Don't miss it. Number three, don't miss the opportunity to receive your healing this morning. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16, God says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. You see it panned out in this story here. The Pharisee thought that they were all slick and strong. They missed it. The broken and the weak received their healing. Christ is showing us something here, that my pride and my fear needs to be broken so that I don't miss the opportunity that God has for me. You have the choice which one will happen. Your pride and your fear can be broken, or your opportunity can be crushed. It's my choice. It's your choice. Because the truth is, it's not Christ's heart that keeps you from his help. It's not his heart. So, if I can do anything for you this morning, I can take you in the room of this scene. And if there's anything I can do, I can encourage you, friend, and say, stop blaming Jesus and start asking for help. Stop. Stop blaming the church. Stop blaming the pastor. stop blaming sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so and ask for help. Now listen to me. I mean, this hits hard for me too. I can either blame other churches. I can blame other pastors. I can blame the world or even the church. But listen to me. If I do that, if I stay in my pride, the opportunity will be crushed. Won't it? Won't it? And I'm tired of missing opportunities. Why is this truth so powerful? Because Christ is infinitely powerful. His plan for you never depends on people anyway. If he's not going to work it out with that person or that situation, guess what? He can create something all new, can't he? Can't he? He's infinitely powerful. Listen to me. He's infinitely gracious. He's so gracious, he's willing to go the extra mile. What qualifies you? Just a humble heart. Let me read to you the truth again in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42 through 44, and then we'll close. Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you." What an opportunity to miss right there, by the way. The whole kingdom of God taken away and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Either I will fall, let my pride and my fear fall on the truth of Christ, or my opportunity will be crushed. How about you? Bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, right here in this room, right here in this moment, I feel like that we're just at a critical moment in so many hearts this morning. There's an opportunity in this room that I don't even know of. God, right here in this room, there's an opportunity for somebody to take the next step in your plan for them. There's an opportunity right here in this room for somebody to receive healing, forgiveness. There's an opportunity right here in this room for somebody to break free of a bondage that you've had for years. There's an opportunity right here in this room, because Christ is in this room, for somebody to find forgiveness finally in their life and stop struggling with their past. There's an opportunity. Why? Because Christ is here. And his heart is to heal. His heart is to move in your life. So I just need to know right now, anybody in the sound of my voice that would just say, honestly, you know what? I'm tired of missing opportunities. I'm tired of getting my life out of focus over and over again. I'm tired. I'm tired of missing opportunities. Christ has come to heal. He's come to forgive you. He's come to set you free. And you need the forgiveness in your heart. You need Christ to set your heart free before he does anything else in your life. You need to know that you're his. You need to have a right relationship with him. If that's you this morning and you need to give your heart to Christ, I want you just to raise your hand and say, "That's me. I just need to know who I'm going to pray for right here in this moment." Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else that would just say, "Hey, I just need to get my heart right with him. I need to get my heart right." Amen. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for being so gracious to me. You're offering forgiveness. I accept that offer right now. Because of the cross, I ask you to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let me know that I am forgiven today, by giving me peace in my heart towards you and towards myself. Give me peace. I thank you for what you've done this morning. I praise you that you didn't let me miss this opportunity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just proclaim you as my Lord and Savior now. In Jesus' name, Amen, 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 amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Can you stand on your feet with me as we dismiss this morning? I just wanted these guys to sing this song one more time. And I believe that you can receive an opportunity to encounter Christ, whatever you might need to do, whatever He might wants to do in your life this morning. Don't miss this. For the next just 2 or 3 minutes, I've asked the Lord to make Himself really available to you. I want you to receive whatever He wants to do in your life right now as we sing this out.
All I need to do is work.